Theater Boy Fancast. I'm Sabra Kojas.
And I'm May from the podcast, as usual.
Yeah, and we don't have an episode today.
That's, you know, it is what it is.
May asked, literally as I was pressing record, what are we talking about today? And I purposely didn't answer so that I could say nothing on the podcast.
Off to a bold new start, fresh.
Well, yes, always good. My thinking was a couple things. One, obviously, I Google searched Avril Lavigne and I clicked
as
news and nothing was fucking there.
This girl.
The only thing was When We Were Young Fest, which I don't care about, so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh, watch Avril Lavigne sing at When We Were Young Fest. So I was like, no.
I shan't.
I will not be doing that. Well, no, actually, I probably would like actually to see that. I just don't want to see it for the sake of the podcast. I just want to watch it for my own enjoyment.
Yes. Not everything needs to be content. God, get off our back.
I also want to first start, I'm just having a very bad afternoon from like 4 p.m. to now.
Oh, no.
Because I'm having all these insurance issues because
the worst.
Yeah, I had Medicaid. Because I was unemployed, and then I thought the Medicaid would lapse when I didn't give them my income. You're supposed to, like, tell them your income, because if your income's too high, you can't be on Medicaid. It's, like, the whole point of it. And I got a job, and my new insurance through the job was going to kick in right when they were going to be asking for my income, and so I never submitted income. And then they called me one time, and they were like, hey, what, you need to submit your income. And I was like, oh, actually, I got a job, I have health insurance, I'm all good now. And they were like, oh, great, sounds good. And then guess what? I still have the fucking Medicaid.
That's so weird.
So I went for my physical, I went for my dental exam, I went for, I don't know, like a dermatology exam. And now my real insurance, the insurance that all of these places actually take, is like, well, we won't pay for it because you have to bill your primary insurance. But nobody takes the primary insurance because it's Medicaid.
Right.
So I'm like, Right. It was the first time in my life that I've understood the concept of screaming out of frustration. And I did it. Every other time I've thought that this was like, oh, it feels forced. Oh, that's not, like, it's not something you actually, like, scream. It's just, like, you force it because we, like, have media that tells us that that's a thing that people do. And then today I did it, and I was like,
yeah,
oh, actually,
no,
I get
that's
it.
Real. That's real.
So it was so frustrating, too, because everyone's like, well, we don't take that insurance. And I'm like, you have to bill the Medicaid first, and then you can bill the real insurance. But they're like, what? And then finally, like, then I did my, like, manifestation girly EFT tapping, which is you like tap on different parts of your body and like say things, and I did it for money. And then, and before that, I had called the dental place and was like, what do I do? And then they were like, oh, well, we'll call the insurance, we'll figure it out. And then I did my tapping, and then I felt better, and then the dental place called me back and they were like, oh, we just need your first insurance. When they deny it, then the second insurance will pay it. And I was like, okay, you're the first reasonable person I've talked to.
That's so tough. Yeah. That's really frustrating.
So I'm concerned that there's going to be a universe in which I owe like $3,000 in medical bills.
Right. Ugh, the worst. Yeah, we're trying to get like the paperwork cleared to put our kid on our insurance. And it's been a journey because we keep getting bills in the mail for various child-related things. And we're like...
So wait, right now, is your child not have health insurance?
It's just pending. But she's been to the pediatrician multiple times, and we're like, please stop pending. We would like her to be insured so that we don't have to pay for multiple pediatrician visits and, you know, all sorts of other things. So
that's a crazy system. They should cover it before the kid is born.
I mean, they're going to retroactively cover it, but it's just like it needs to go through. And so that's a pain. And so we have to call tomorrow and be like, you got the paperwork, right? Because there's like a limited window of time that you can submit it.
Right.
Because if you have an infant, you're a little bit busy.
And yet you're making this podcast.
Yes, this is a lot easier than dealing with insurance, as you know. Especially when we don't have a topic.
Right. But the insurance could be like, you should have been calling us, but instead you were making a stupid little podcast. So that's your fault.
And then they come to my house and literally kill me. That's basically how insurance works in America.
Yes. insurance is bad. If you want to know more about why medical insurance is bad, there's an episode of Adam Ruins Everything where he explains how basically insurance decided that they wanted to be a thing, and so they made doctors jack up all their prices so that insurance could give you a discount, but it's a fake discount because the prices were arbitrarily jacked up in the first place.
Yep. A tragedy, truly.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought today that we could, if we wanted to, read some lyrics of songs that we haven't yet talked about. We could just pick some random Avril songs and read some lyrics and make some jokey jokes.
I'm down.
We could also just talk about myself. Or I guess you. I don't know if the audience cares about your baby, but I don't know. They can't tell me.
There's not a lot to say that's related to the podcast in terms of my child.
She's well, nothing I ever say is related to the podcast.
Except that this is secretly a relationship podcast.
True, 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 true. And it's not secretly a baby podcast.
No, definitely not.
Anyway, okay, so do we want to...
Babies are not content, gang. That's one thing I believe
Well,
in.
That's...
Some people make them content, but...
Yeah, lots of people make their babies content.
Mm-hmm. Won't catch me doing that.
I don't know. I understand when people do it when they're not influencers...
Right.
But when influencers do it and there's like 1,000 saves of the video and you're like, some of those are definitely pedophiles.
Yeah. Oh my God. So creepy. And then also they're like, they're dependent on their child for an income.
Yeah.
How is that a healthy setup for your family? It's not. I can tell you that for free.
Yeah. I mean, there's also always that question. People have been calling for at various times throughout history to not allow child actors to be a thing.
Right.
And I think there's a lot of validity to that. Although I guess the solution at one point was to, there's this like certain kind of fund that I'm sure a lot more people know about now if they have followed Jeanette McCurdy since her book came out, but there's a fund where like 15% of the child's income from acting has to go into this fund that nobody can touch till the kid is 18, and then that's their money. But first of all, 15% is not very much.
Not
that
at
means
all.
The parents can steal 85% of it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems not right, first of all. And then second of all, in some cases, it gets fucked up, and Jeanette McCurdy never got her money, so.
Yeah, because you can always kind of, if you're a person who's wanting to defraud your own child, you can probably figure out a way to do that. But
yeah.
There's been a lot of conversation about establishing something like the Coogan account for kids of influencers. I think the better solution, because at least if you're a child actor, there's like some separation. You're not quite the content. Your character on the show is the content.
Yeah.
With influencers, kids, you're the content.
Right.
Everyone knows everything about your personal life in a way that isn't the case necessarily with child actors. So to me, it's just like gross.
Yeah. And it's just like we're in a weird time because being a child actor in the 50s was absolutely terrible. And like Judy Garland was like given all of these drugs and stuff to make her submissive.
Docile.
To
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now we have laws that protect against those kinds of things, I hope. I'm just kind of speaking out of my ass, but we have laws like the Coogan account and things like that.
Yeah.
So I know that there's some sort of laws. And we have child labor laws, like you have to be in school, you can only work a certain number of hours. But then I also know Josh Peck recently said on a podcast that it was really easy to get out of the schooling thing, because if you got your GED, then you were done. And there was like a dude who would like, I don't know, somehow either take the exam for you or fix your answers on the exam so that you would definitely pass. And he was like, I passed it on my own, so I didn't need that. But, like, it was basically the college admissions scandal, but, like, forgetting
Gross.
Your GED as a child actor. Yeah.
Ew, I hate that so much. That's actually, we could tie this into Avril because she became famous when she was quite young. I mean, granted, she was, I guess, 18 by the time she really popped off. But
yeah, but she would have been under a contract at 16, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's always interesting to watch people navigate this stuff at very young ages, because even 18, it's not very old. I understand that it has legal import, but it's still a very young age.
Yeah, your brain is not developed. That's actually this question that I was listening to on a podcast. that I thought was an interesting thing, something I've thought about but hadn't in a while, and that's if we should lower the voting age. And apparently there was a coalition in D.C. that wanted to lower the voting age in D.C. from 18 to 16, and they were almost successful actually at doing it, and then they ultimately weren't. But the reporter for this podcast went out like on election day to like lines of people that were waiting to vote, and they were like asking, do you think that 16-year-olds should be able to vote? And everybody said no, until she ran into Seth Meyers, and he was like, oh, actually, you know, I've never thought about it, so I guess I can't really say either way, which is the correct answer.
That's the correct answer. But I know just heard something.
Right, exactly. My answer would be that when I was 16, I really, really wanted to be able to vote, because that was when I was taking AP Gov, and I and my friends all really felt like we knew more about the government than the average person at the time.
Right.
And I actually think that that stands true. I don't know that I know as much about the government as I did at 16.
That's because totally
I was
fair.
Learning about it actively. And right. And what they found in terms of like, the argument of this is like, well, you're too young. But they've actually found that your brain is no more stupid from 16 to 18.
Of course. Of course. That makes perfect sense.
Right. Like, these are really just arbitrary numbers.
Yeah.
So, like, you just aren't going to make any worse decisions from 16 to 18. So, in that sense, the idea of 16-year-olds voting was fine. And the argument for it, because originally the voting age was, like, 21, and it got lowered to 18 because you could join the army at 18, and you could get drafted for the Vietnam War at 18. So you could die for your country, but you couldn't vote to vote for people that wouldn't make you die for your country.
It's only relevant to people.
Right,
it like
exactly.
starts being relevant to people in that younger age group.
Right.
No control over the scenario.
Exactly. So they changed it. And then this DC group, their argument was kind of similar. It was, they were like, it's incredibly likely, not incredibly likely, but for a young person to die, for that death to be at the hand of a mass shooter, a school shooter, is very likely. And to not be able to vote for people that would pass laws to prevent that, they said that that's the same logic. So maybe someday that'll work. I was just thinking, though, personally, I was like, I would have voted the same way I did at 16 as I would now. It would have been the same thing. But I had some friends in high school that I think now would be embarrassed by their political views at 16, and not in the way that conservatives think, or conservatives think you get more conservative as you get older and you'll be embarrassed by your liberal opinions as a child. I had friends who were like, no, actually, I think Mitt Romney makes a lot of sense. And I think if they heard themselves say that now, they would be embarrassed about it. Yeah. So then I'm like, I don't know.
I do think you just like don't know a whole lot until you are participating in certain systems like insurance. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, my logic, if I were to argue against 16-year-olds voting, it's that they're so far away, most of them are so far away from participating in most of these systems that they don't have the context to make informed decisions about them.
That's a very good point. My argument was, with my friends having these opinions at the time, it was just, I think, that they lacked critical thinking skills that they have now that they're older. So it was things of Mitt Romney's campaign that did seem to make sense. Like, I think he said something about, like, he had some sort of policy. Maybe this was when he was governor and not running for president. It was, like, different. But it was some sort of policy of, like, if you're in the top something percentage of your class, you get cheaper state college or whatever. And on the one hand, you're like, yeah, that makes sense, because like, you did all this work, you should get to go to college. But in fact, when you like look at it deeper, you're like, well, the students who do worse in high school, maybe it's because they don't have the same family money to get a tutor, they have to get a job, so they can't spend as much time studying. There's like all these other factors that go into
tons of
things.
Reasons. So it might be holding back the same people.
Right, when you have that kind of critical thinking to look at it like that, then you're like, wait a second. But you don't have that at 16 for anything. I had so many stupid opinions at 16. I was so stupid. I was the dumbest.
I mean, it's a dumb age. It's a dumb age, and so is 18.
It is. I mean, we read my whole 16-year-old blog. It was so stupid. And yet, so many things in that blog are things I have said direct, like, verbatim, quote for quote, today.
Yes. Yeah. So, listen, if it ain't broke, I feel like.
Wow, I've really not progressed at all.
What is the theme of this podcast? It's really unclear. But hey, Avril was 18 when she popped off, so it's all related.
Yes.
She can't vote. Well, she's Canadian. Is she a United States citizen? Can she vote?
I've asked this a million times. We need to know.
We need to know.
Is she a U.S.? She has to be a U.S. citizen, right? Well, yeah. No, she... Well, she's married. She's been married.
Mm-hmm.
But Chad is Canadian, right?
Yeah.
And is Derek Whibley... Right, I don't know. Is Derek Whibley Canadian, too?
Oh, damn. Let's find out.
Okay. Oh my god, was she just gonna marry Modson for the green card?
Whoa. Yeah, he's Canadian.
Derek Whibley's Canadian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's married two Canadian guys. So I was gonna say, oh, well, she would have gotten green cards from that, but I guess not. And green cards don't mean you can vote.
Well, also, both of them could be U.S. citizens. We don't know. I don't know why, but I doubt Derek is.
I would assume Derek is more of a citizen than Chad is.
Well, where do they live?
I have no idea. I mean, Avril lives in LA.
Right.
So, like, she's gotta be... But, okay, I have a question. You don't know this because you're not an immigration lawyer. But, like...
That is correct.
Do you have to, like, denounce your old citizenship to become a U.S. citizen or no?
No, you never need citizenship.
Okay.
I, like, low-key want dual Irish citizenship.
I could get dual citizenship, but for a country that some people don't think should exist, so...
Oh,
anyway,
here we are.
So I wonder if Avril, like, would just have a permanent residency of some sort, or if she would have citizenship. What would be the benefit of citizenship? I guess voting. Does she care about voting? She was really against the Iraq War. Did she really want to vote?
I was opening my mouth to say she was against the Iraq War. Go a podcast without mentioning the Iraq War. The podcast has crumbled to pieces.
Yes, it's true. Take a shot every time we talk about the Iraq War. So it seems like maybe she would have wanted to vote then to oust. Well, I guess she wouldn't have been. I don't know what. She would she? Yes, no, she would have been 18 or over 18 for 2004. So she maybe she would have wanted to vote, but she maybe wouldn't have been famous enough yet to be a citizen in 2004, but maybe by 2008, and maybe she would have wanted to vote for somebody that was a stark contrast to the sitting president versus the candidate who seemed overly similar to the sitting president. But maybe not. Maybe she was like, I'm happy voting for in my home country. Because it took me forever. I've lived in New York City for 9 years, and I have only voted in New York City for 3. I absentee voted for most of my voting adulthood.
Right.
And, like, it really, honestly, the large reason why I stopped was because I was not sent an absentee ballot one time. With enough time. Actually, one time they didn't even send it. I received the ballot after the election had already happened.
Jeez.
So I was like, I don't want to do that again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. And then I eventually was like, well, it makes more sense. Why would I be voting in a place I don't live when I... Because local elections are important. It was a lot because Michigan is more of a swing state than New York is.
Right.
So my vote for president mattered more there. But my local votes matter in the place that I live.
Of course. Of course. So I just found out something very shocking.
Okay.
I am on a website.
Called doesavrilavinevote.com.
I wish. there is a article on exclaim.ca, a Canadian website, called The Complicated Life and Times of Avril Lavigne. It's by a journalist named Ian Gormley. I'll be looking into him in a minute.
Okay.
It has a breakdown of every year that Avril Lavigne has been in the game. Breaking down all of the stuff that she did that year, including, get ready for this, in 2011, she, because both her parents are French citizens, she obtained a French passport, sold her home in Bel Air, and moved to Paris. She just lived in Paris for a while. Huh?
Do you think she got bed bugs?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard a conspiracy theory. I just made a noise with my desk. I'm so sorry, guys. I can't edit it out. I heard a conspiracy theory recently that there aren't actually more bed bugs in Paris, that these are stories being planted by the Russian government, who's mad about the Olympics, and they want to prevent people from going to the Olympics in Paris because get to participate.
Yeah.
Because of the war in Ukraine.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a conspiracy theory, that Paris is actually no worse than they ever have been. Russia is just planting negative press.
That's fascinating. I would love to know more about that.
I know. I would love to know if it's true. And yeah. I would love to know if a lot of things are true. Right now,
that's funny thing to do. Like, that's a very funny way to go about it if you're mad at me. Just be like, they're icky.
Yeah.
Ew, bugs.
Anyway, so Avril has French citizenship.
Well, she at least has a French passport. Does that mean that you have citizenship? I don't actually know.
I think so. I think you have to have citizenship to have a passport because it's a federal document.
That makes sense. Well, or whatever system that they use over there.
I'm pretty sure that is how that works. So if the article is telling us that she has this French passport, but never lists that she has a U.S. passport, and we're assuming, although this could be wrong, that her parents didn't already have U.S. citizenship somehow, because I have a friend who's from England, but somehow she also has U.S. and Canadian citizenship. She's never applied for these. These are, like, things that she got from her parents. Mm-hmm. Her parents, mm-hmm. I don't think they're, like, from America or Canada, frankly. But they have those citizenships, and then she has all three citizenships. I think she might have given up the Canadian one because she was like, I actually don't care about Canada.
Valid.
Yes. But so there is the possibility that Avril somehow already had American citizenship through her parents. But if we're assuming that that's not true, and this is telling us that she got French citizenship, then we can assume she doesn't have American citizenship. And she's just on what, like an O-1 visa?
It's impossible to say for sure. This article also says that Shania Twain, who she performed with in 2018 after, like, Shania Twain was her original way that she broke into the music industry, Shania Twain also has Lyme disease.
And so does Justin Bieber. What's happening to Canada?
What is happening to Canada?
That's...
them super ticks coming up over the border.
Yeah. Well, it also might just be, frankly, that Lyme disease is becoming more and more common, and we really need to learn how to take it more seriously.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, my brother just had Lyme.
Right. And get people the antibiotics that they need earlier, because at least according to Avril, she said one time that the longer you let it progress, the harder it is to recover. And she had didn't let it progress for a long time, but nobody diagnosed her for a really, really, really long time. And she thought she was going to die.
Right. So, I mean, what happened with my brother is that he started showing symptoms and my mom was like, that's for sure Lyme.
Yeah.
Let's find someone who will get you on medication for that. And I believe they went to more than one doctor.
That's crazy, because when I went to my current doctor for the very first time, because I was getting really, really, really bad headaches every time I worked out, it felt like something was popping in the base of my skull, and then I would get a headache through the whole left side of my head, for which I eventually had to get an MRI, because apparently that's a symptom of an aneurysm.
That's good.
But she was like, okay, one, next time that happens, if the pain is that bad, you have to go to the emergency room. And I was like, I'm not going to the emergency room. Turns out she was telling me that because it might be an aneurysm. Right. But she was like, I'll refer you to a neurologist, but first let's test you for Lyme. So she really did, like, very first thing, test me for that, and I didn't have it. But then my boss, who lives in the woods and gets Lyme a lot because he lives in the woods.
Fair enough.
He got Lyme recently. And he knew it was Lyme immediately. He's had it before. He knows the symptoms. He has the rash. And he went to the, like, urgent care. And he was like, oh, I have Lyme. And they're like, but do you? And he was like, yes, I have Lyme. And they're like, okay, fine. We'll give you this antibiotic. And he's like, no, I can't take that antibiotic. I'm allergic to it. You have to give me this other antibiotic. I've had Lyme before. This is what works. And they're like, we're not going to do that. And he was like, what the fuck? Eventually, I think he did get the antibiotic. But
that's
like,
so frustrating.
Why are doctors bad? No offense if you're a doctor listening to this podcast. But
well, urgent care is really tough. Urgent care is tough because my brother first went to an urgent care and they just, like, did not know what to do with that at all. Because the thing is, they're so used to just doing the same, like, three or four things. They're doing, like, whatever the most common illnesses are, and then like STI panels and like
that. I was just going to say STIs, because when I went to the urgent care because I had a rash that was taking over my whole body, the doctor told me in a voice that I would describe as excited. Yeah. He told me, maybe it's syphilis. Oh, I hit a mug when I said that. I told this joke on the podcast before, but I'm working on it as a stand-up bit. So yeah, he really wanted it to be an STD then.
Yeah. He's like, I know what to do with that.
Yeah. I had a herpes virus, but not a sexually transmitted kind. Unless, no, I don't think I had made out with anybody. No, I guess maybe it could have been a make out herpes virus.
Yeah.
You never know.
Nice.
Yeah. And then it went away because that's what herpes viruses do.
That's true.
Do we want to read some lyrics now?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. I've pulled up the, Genius page for Avril Lavigne, and I'm looking at the list of songs. You know what one we've never done, but I think is kind of a big song that we never really talk about, because instead of talking about this, we talk about I'm With You.
Which one?
Keep Holding On.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's just like a movie soundtrack song, so we don't delve right into it. We don't think about it too much.
Well, I think about it specifically as being a Glee song.
I think of it as being on the Chronicles of Narnia soundtrack, but I don't actually think that it was.
No, it was on the Aragon soundtrack.
Ah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Alrighty. It's from 2006. It says, Keep Holding On is a powerful ballad by Avril Lavigne and is used as the theme song for the 2006 film Aragon. The song also appears on her album, The Best Damn Thing. The song is officially released as a single from the album on April 17th, 2007. The song was a moderate hit in the US, peaking at 17 on the Billboard Hot 100. Lyrically, the song is about Lavigne expressing to another person, no matter who they may be, that they aren't alone and they'll make it through together.
You're not ready for the Genius annotations. They're out of pocket from the get-go.
Okay, well, I'll read verse one and then we'll read the... No, I'll read the first three lines and then we'll read the first Genius annotation. Okay. You're not alone. Together we stand. I'll be by your side. You know I'll take your hand.
Okay. This person writes, my interpretation of the song is Avril talking to someone very close to her who's considering suicide.
Ah!
Okay. That's very intense. That's very intense for this not intense song. This rings true, especially in the lyrics, because she's telling this person that it's okay. Because you can't tell anyone it's okay unless they're at the brink of death and that they're not alone and that she's always there with them. Like, cool it.
That's so crazy that people keep thinking of Avril Lavigne and suicide in the same context.
Yeah.
Why?
I feel like she does not have that vibe in the slightest.
No! No, she doesn't!
There are plenty of bands that were popular around this time that are explicitly writing about that.
Right. It might have been just a product of the time, maybe? Yeah. When did To Write Love on Her Arms, when was that a thing? Oh, was it 2012?
That was popular around the same time.
Okay, it was a 2012 movie, but obviously the company was older than the movie.
Yeah.
So like, maybe
I remember
around
in like 2007
time.
And 8, that was totally
okay. That's what I was thinking. And so I was like, maybe it's just like at the time, it was the first time in history when we were like, we can actually talk about mental health issues.
Yeah. And like self-harm was a big topic of conversation at that time. And I can definitely see people having more of kind of an awareness suddenly and like being a lot more explicit about it. But yo, that's not what this song is about.
Yeah. But we don't need to put that on Avril. Okay. When it gets cold and it feels like the end, there's no place to go. You know I won't give in. No, I won't give in.
Now I love this. Someone writes, cold symbolizes the winter, which is known as more depressing than the summer.
It's true. It's true.
Also, as some other user annotated in the first line, the end may be about someone who's considering suicide. No, it isn't. And the end symbolizes his death. Why is it a he? Also, what are you talking about? There's no place to go, maybe related to Avril's song, Nobody's Home, where she sings, there's no place to go, no place to go, dry your eyes, broken inside. It's not. I can tell you all of this is nonsense.
I'll accept the Nobody's Home reference. I'll understand when it gets cold and it feels like the end. I don't really feel like that actually does sound like it's about suicide, but at least I'll, like,
logically... on the soundtrack of a fantasy movie. That's what it sounds like.
Right, sounds like the end of a journey. Mm-hmm. Or, because when it feels like the end, that seems like the natural ending point.
Yeah.
not a forced ending point. So, but I understand that word if someone wants to put that on that, but it's wrong. Okay. Chorus. Keep holding on, because you know we'll make it through, we'll make it through. Just stay strong, because you know I'm here for you, I'm here for you. There's nothing you could say, nothing you could do. There's no other way when it comes to the truth. So keep holding on, because you know we'll make it through, we'll make it through.
Yeah, I mean, the only annotation on this is another person, or maybe it's the same person, I don't know, also saying that they think it's about suicide.
Why?
Dang, this is
why relentless. Is this happening to us?
Okay. This is like a pleasant, upbeat song.
Well, it's just like a, yeah, we're in this together kind yeah. of anthem song.
Right. Because it's on the soundtrack of a children's fantasy movie. Like, that's the extent of what we're working with.
Right. Okay. So far away, I wish you were here. Before it's too late, this could all disappear.
Okay. The annotation says, the simplicity of this line conveys a much deeper sorrow in her. He is miles away from her, and she is lonely without him. She would do anything to have him by her side.
Oh my God.
Wish You Were Here was also the name of the lead single from her album Goodbye Lullaby. Okay, that's irrelevant because that album came out way later, so pipe down. Also, why is this like a big romantic thing with a man? I'm sick of this.
Yes. Okay, so somebody commented and said Goodbye Lullaby's lead single is What the Hell, not Wish You Were Here. So, first of all.
Get their ass. I'm thinking what the hell about all these annotations, frankly.
Truly. Well, so far away, I wish you were here. Yeah, to put that all on, like, he's miles away with her. She would do anything to have him by. First of all, I wish you were here could be about a friend. Like,
absolutely. Just, like, this seems like a friendship song. We don't have enough of those.
It absolutely feels like a friendship song. Yeah, why do we automatically go, oh, intimacy is romantic?
Yeah.
Yep,
I'm irritated, frankly.
Before the doors close and it comes to an end, with you by my side, I will fight and defend. I'll fight and defend, yeah, yeah. And then go back to the chorus, which is the same, and then the bridge. Hear me when I say I believe, nothing's gonna change, nothing's gonna change destiny. Whatever's meant to be will work out perfectly. Yeah, 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 yeah. La, di, la, da, 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 la, da, da, da.
La, da, 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 la, da, 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 da. I almost feel like this song is, like, at its most relatable when you're, like, looking, you're trying to figure out what college to go to, and you have the sudden realization that you and your friends might be separated. You know what I mean? Like, that's about the level of drama that can possibly be reached with this song. So to be, like, it's definitely about someone contemplating suicide, to me, is just a wild leap in the wrong direction.
Yeah. And then there's the chorus, and then the outro is, there's nothing you could say, nothing you could do, there's no other way when it comes to the truth. So keep holding on, because you know we'll make it through, we'll make it through.
And you will, because you can always just FaceTime one another from...
They didn't have FaceTime in 2006!
Well, now they do, so back then you could Skype, it was all fine.
I also think it's really interesting. She's the only person credited as a writer on this song, which is not that common for any song.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that, because she did not write all these instrumentals.
Well, no, of course not, but even just lyrically, a lot of times there's, like, it's a collaboration.
Very true.
Someone commented, the song is so beautiful, I love it. Whenever I listen to it, it reminds me of my grandma.
Aw, that's adorable. See, that I'll accept. I think that someone should go in and annotate it and say, this
is song is about Avril's grandma.
That user's, no, that user's grandma.
Yes.
It looks like, okay, let me get to the bottom of who annotated this.
Okay.
I just want to talk. Alrighty. I'm learning nothing from this. I was hoping that there would be something interesting on this person's profile.
I'm sorry.
This is a tragedy. Although they did annotate Paparazzi. By Kim Dracula. I don't know who that is. But to say, oh, it's a cover. It's a cover of the Lady Gaga version. Paparazzi, okay. Originally made popular by Lady Gaga in 2009, talks about, according to Gaga, quote, it's about wooing the paparazzi to fall in love with me. It's just about media whoring. And Dracula's cover does just that, amplifies it with his own original bridge and adds a dark twist that brings together emos, scene kids, and e-girls alike. I gotta listen to this. It's crazy. Everything about that's crazy. Anyway, That was irrelevant, but I wanted to.
Alrighty. Well, I'm back to looking through the just various songs. I want to talk about Contagious because this was a song I used in my Instagram stories a lot during the height of the pandemic.
Good. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I was like, Avril really knew what was going on here. Okay, so this is also for Best Damn Thing. It was produced by Derek Whibley. There's no genius annotations here. I don't think anyone actually knows that the song exists except for me.
I think you're right.
So we're going to read some lyrics. Okay. Intro. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's the strong start.
It is a strong start. When you're around, I don't know what to do. I do not think that I can wait to go over and talk to you. I do not know what I should say.
I love the lack of contractions. It's not that's I don't know what I
should say. Such a lack of contractions.
I do not know.
That's so crazy. I do not think that I... It sounds like a Dr. Seuss.
It does.
Well, I do not think that I can wait to go over and talk to you. I do not know what I should say.
Oh my God. This is good. This is good music.
Okay. And I walk out in silence. That's when I start to realize what you bring to my life. Damn, this guy can make me cry. Does any of this rhyme?
Dr. Seuss. Damn, this guy can make me cry. The internal rhyme of that is very Seussian.
It is, but, like, overall, this song seems to almost rhyme so many times and then doesn't.
Yeah, like, realize and cry.
Yeah, that's not. That doesn't rhyme. Realize.
Wait and say. Facts. We're on Tumblr and it's 2010.
Okay, chorus. It's so contagious. I cannot get it out of my mind. It's so outrageous. You make me feel so high all the time. Uh-oh, indeed. They all say that you're no good for me, but I'm too close to turn around. I'll show them that they don't know anything. I think I got you figured out.
Well, okay. That's spooky.
Here's the thing, guys. Clearly, constantly, people are saying, hey, this dude is not a good dude, and you shouldn't date him. That's what the premise of Skater Boy is. That's what the premise of this song is. It's the premise of lots of songs that Avril writes. Why won't she fucking listen?
I think she's struggling with a bad case of the sunk cost fallacy. Because when she says, they say you're no good for me, but I'm too close to turn around. It's like I've invested too much. And so I have to continue to date you even though all of my friends are saying not to. No, you don't.
You don't. But also, I was honestly thinking, like, more simply, they're like, don't do this. And then she's like, that means I have to do it.
Yeah. He 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 he.
I feel like that's an Avril mentality.
You've activated my trap card.
I feel like that's an Avril mentality to, like, just do what people tell her not to do.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of the pop punk mentality. Like,
yeah, it is.
We are freaking rules.
Right, and it's like the thing that we talked about on our last episode when we read the lyrics to everybody's favorite, what the hell's the song called? All I Wanted.
Yeah.
When it gets to that line that's like, I'm starting a revolution or something like that, where both of us were like hardcore rolling our eyes because we were like, what are you talking about wearing skinny pants in public? Like, you're literally not doing anything rebellious at all. But that's exactly like this. It's like, you told me not to date someone. Well, I do what I want. And it's like, okay, well, you're hurting yourself though. Like, no one else is impacted by that. You're being silly.
Yeah. And like, it's hard because like, I get when like, these girls go on reality dating shows and they like fall for the guy that they know is bad for them, but they're like, but I love him. I get it, honestly, because I know that if I, like, I like so few people and there's even fewer people that like me back. And so, like, I get feeling that, oh, there's so few in this world. I just have to latch on to the one that I find.
Right. Lock it down.
But that's still wrong.
Yeah.
That's still not correct.
Yeah, you gotta get your mindset right.
Right. Okay, so then we have the pre-chorus and chorus and then the bridge. I'll give you everything. I'll treat you right. If you just give me a chance, I can prove I'm right.
That's funny. I can prove I'm right. So, like, he's not into it, but she's
right.
Like, I'm correct that we should be together.
I mean, that's how I feel all the time.
Or slash, is she proving herself right to the guy, or is she proving herself right to the friends who are saying don't date him? I think that's actually the more likely.
Yeah. I also, the first, when I initially read it, I also thought she was saying it to the guy, but you're right, it's definitely to the friends.
Also, what's funny about these lyrics is that these, like, sound more traditionally masculine to me, which is just like an interesting thing to note. Like, I'll treat you right. Like, I feel like that's usually what I kind of is saying. So she's maybe breaking some norms there. I don't know. She is the one with the money.
Yeah, but wait. Go back. The line before I can prove I'm right is, if you give me a chance. So she is talking to the guy. He doesn't want to date her.
Well, she's saying, if you give me a chance, like, hey, if you go out with me,
right,
then I can prove to my friends that we should be together. You see what I mean?
I get that, but why doesn't he, like, she's begging him to go out with her.
She is. Avril, you don't have to do that. You're very famous. You have a lot of money. I'm sure, listen, does she have other things going for her? I don't, probably. I don't know. I don't know her, but.
That's such a good question. I would love to know what her personality is. I wish I worked for one of those companies like BuzzFeed or something where I could like get Avril and be like, 24 hours with Avril Lavigne and like hang out with her for 24 hours and actually like see what's up.
I want her to do a bunch of personality quizzes on Quizzilla.com. Too bad it doesn't exist anymore. This
world but is I want to know, like, if she gets dinner with a friend, what do they talk about?
Right. When she went for sushi at Nobu with, you know, that other guy. You know, I'm forgetting everybody's name immediately.
Yes.
The second I don't have to know it, it's gone from my brain. Tyga.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say Travis Barker and I knew it was wrong.
She's probably been to Nobu with Travis Barker too.
Probably.
Also, like, with Travis Barker, it's like, presumably they talk about like music production.
Yeah. Well, that's a work meeting. That one I get. Right. But like, Mod Sun, what did they talk about?
I haven't the foggiest. They don't seem to even have a lot in common, so God only knows.
Yeah, I think he somehow just manifested his like celebrity crush.
Yeah.
And but then, it's like,
it could only last so long.
Right. Like, just because you want something does not mean that that's what's right for you.
Yeah, it feels
and
like
that's
he,
what
he
I have to remind myself.
He like met a fairy and the fairy was like, I'll grant you your wish. He he he. The consequences. The consequences.
Yeah. Well, that's like, I remember seeing a TikTok where a girl was like, yeah, you can manifest your celebrity crush. I did it. I had like a poster as a kid of this dude in my room that I was like so into. She wouldn't say the celebrity, obviously, but she was like, so into him. And then she was like, and then like in college, I met him and we like hooked up and it was terrible. And so like, just because you really want it does not mean it's good.
I somehow clicked on the lyrics to Goddess, a song that I don't ever recall even listening to. I know that I must have because I've listened to all her albums.
Right.
But I do want to talk about the chorus real quick. He treats me like a goddess, goddess. He thinks I'm sexy in my pajamas. The more I am a hot mess, the more he goes bananas. He treats me like a goddess. Now, let's talk about the rhyme scheme here, because I don't remember what this song sounds like, so I am just going to have to guess based on precedent from Avril. He treats me like a goddess. He thinks I'm sexy in my pajamas. The more I'm a hot mess, the more he goes bananas. Do we think it's that, or is it? He treats
bananas?
Me like a... Is a goddess sexy in my pajamas the more he goes bananas.
Wait, he treats me like a goddess. Wait, pajamas.
I know I don't know how to pronounce any words anymore. This really threw me into a tailspin.
It's definitely gotta be, she's gotta be saying it banana.
Yes, she has to be saying, but if you can say avalanche, you can say bananas.
Exactly
bananas. I'm the goddess of bananas and pajamas. Oh my god, it's bananas and pajamas. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it was like a show.
Yes. She literally watched that show and was like, I can make that a song.
Yeah, she didn't even realize that she was accidentally writing a song about bananas and pajamas.
Incredible.
Oh, this is a nightmare. He thinks so.
Or maybe, frankly, it was the same thing with Let Go, where they gave her a list of words and somebody.
Yes,
as
she's
a prank.
Like reassociating. Yeah, yeah. To be honest. I don't know how bad that I didn't know how bad that I want this. It's hard to keep it modest. Thinks my body's flawless. Treats me like a goddess. This is a mess.
I need to listen to the song and see how she's pronouncing these words.
Yes.
Because
I think it's really essential.
In her dialect, in the Avril Lavigne dialect, that might be correct.
Yes. She could probably find a way to make correct rhyme with all of that.
All righty, guys. Today we talked about Sabra's insurance issues. We talked about whether 16-year-olds should be able to vote.
We talked about May's insurance issues.
We talked about May's insurance issues. We talked about the Avril Lavigne song Contagious, and we talked about the Avril Lavigne official dialect. That's everything.
A successful episode, I'd say.
As the too long didn't read and of today's episode.
If you don't think there was enough Avril in this episode, get at us. Message us. Tell us what you want to hear.
Alrighty. Well, this has been another episode of What More Can I Say, a Skater Boy fan cast.
Can I make it any more obvious?